All right, here we go. Jason Mewes is going to sell you all some shit so we can pay some bills here. As always, if you want to advertise, go to smodcast.com/ads. And this is what you're paying for. Give it.
Yes, and you can find this afterwards, that where to find this on the Twitter page, too. Just so if I mess it up, you can find it there. This is Curls. curls-studio.com. Attention, planet Earth. Is your normal 9-to-5 job melting your brains to the point where there's no sign of hope or excitement? Are you stuck digesting the same old, uninspiring routine in your daily life? Do you need adventure? Do you need inspiration? Do you need a giant human-sized piece of toast? You do? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you need it? Well, have no fear. Welcome to the world of Curls. Curls Studio. That's right, everyone. Curls Studio is like nothing else you've ever seen before. Imagine if you took the love from Disney's characters, the madness of Warner Brothers cartoons, and the lifestyle of a traveling carnival of thieves and mixed it up in a tornado of trouble. That, my friends, would be the characters created in the comic storytelling of Curls Studio. Led by mad scientist, creators, artist Carolyn Belafisky. Pronounced Carolyn Belafisky. That's right. Belafisky. And writer Joe Carabio. Joe Carabio. That's right. Curls Studio has characters and stories that are Curls Studio has characters and stories that are impossible not to enjoy. You can enjoy them. Come on. From the futuristic Blade Runner meets cabaret action spy adventure about a group of burlesque dancers, who want to save the universe in the Legettes, to the insane and famous gateways of Roxy and Dean, who star in the Robin Hood meets Bonnie and Clyde meets Animaniacs book, Black Magic Tales. But that's not all. Carolyn Belafisky's got up and scup up up. Also does a webcomic called Curls. This wonderful and purely fun with a side of insanity comic strip is about a gal with mitten hands who runs into adventures with her best friends. A life-size slice of toast named Toast of the Town. Applause. A Siamese fighting fish who is the boxing world champion in the waterweight division. Turtleneck, a turtle who wears turtlenecks, and Pitter-Patter, a penguin waiter. Oh my gosh, that sounds like fun. Carolyn Belafisky was nominated for a Friends of Lulu Award in 2010 for Most Talented Newcomer to recognize cartooning work by women. Oh my goodness. Check out a brand new Curls webcomic every Monday and Thursday at Curls, curls-studio.com. There's more. The Carolyn and Joe Show is a podcast. Oh my goodness. Where they have a conversation that will either offend or entertain you. Every week, nothing is off limits, from the subject of perfectly shaped boobs to how Joe ruined Christmas, to their encounter with pro wrestler Mick Foley. They even talked about what it would be like to have sex with Gilbert Godfrey. Ooh, that would be hot. It's a conversational riot on podcast radio that should no doubt be a part of everyone's week. Everyone should listen, everyone should read, and everyone should touch their no-no place. That's right, curlstudio.com, curls-studio.com. Thank you.
Carolyn Belafisky on Twitter said, thank you for reading the Curls Studio ad, Jason. You made us laugh.
Thank you.
I'm getting live rave reviews. It's a whole different story from last week when people were like, shut him the fuck, kill him. He can't speak. Kill it. It has no point living. And now they're saying you're doing a good job. Look how quickly you redeemed yourself.
Hey, 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 how's it going out there? We are freaking back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're, in fact, listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. And Carolyn, who do we have in the In the studio, apartment? No, studio. What do we call this? Astray studio. Who do we have in the Astray studios today?
In the Astray Productions studio, we have, presented by AstrayProductions.com.
Sponsored by curls-studio.com.
We have Cooney.
Hey, Cooney. Hey, Cooney. How's it going, man?
How you doing?
How you doing, Cooney?
I'm doing good.
You feeling good?
feeling kind of sweaty.
It feels kind of sweaty. It's the summertime. It is definitely a sweaty...
Because it's like hot on the Carolyn and Joe show.
Yes. It's hot on the Carolyn and Joe show.
We're actually calling inside from a sauna, right? Is that what's happening?
Yes. Sauna.
That has always been something that I've always wanted to test out on the Carolyn and Joe show, if we can take this on location. I was always thinking about, like, hey, if we go to New York Comic Con, if we go to any one of these other places, can we do a show live? And at the end of the day, I was always like, that's going to take too much effort.
So your ambition is compounded by your laziness.
Yes. And yet my ambition is huge. But there always comes certain aspects of it. It's just, it's sort of like, whenever I go on vacation, I bring the gear, I bring the portable studio that Stray Productions has, and then yet it just never comes about. But welcome to the studio, Cooney. Welcome back. Oh, when was the last time you were here?
It was about a month ago.
Was that the time where you completely just bashed Lawson and all the
glory? Oh, no, that was longer than a month ago.
No. It was, whatchamacallit, it was New Year's.
Oh, was it really?
Oh, man.
Really? It was that long ago?
Yeah, it was really long time ago.
Where was I?
You were
was it the KKK show, Crazy Cooney Christmas?
It was part two, kind of, but it was like the New Year's Cooney thing.
Okay.
But you were talking about, like, on Thursday, that Thursday, you were going to go to a bar, and then they were having another podcast show.
Yes.
And then you were supposed to.
Okay.
How did it go,
man,
by the way?
That was
so long ago.
I mean, did you guys talk about how it went?
I'm actually going to be on that show on June 6th.
Oh,
and that show is called You, Me, Them, Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Which probably is going to be...
Are you guys, like, partnered up now?
That's next week. I think that's going to be next week. When this show airs, it's going to be the next week of this show, the next Monday.
Wait, so can we still promote it?
Yeah, so this Monday.
Oh, this Monday.
This Monday. If we do our fuzzy math right, I'm going to be at I forget what the lounge is called now.
Is it called Looking Glass Lounge?
Yeah, it's the Looking Glass Lounge.
In D.C. at night. What time does the show start?
I believe it starts at 8 o'clock.
Is it near the good part of D.C. or the really sketchy part of D.C. where you get mugged?
Good.
I don't even. Yeah,
we want
people
to be there.
Yeah, it's the best part of DC, actually.
Yeah, so it's not never gonna get mugged.
So it's not like across the street from 930 Club or something.
No.
It's further, a little bit further down from 930 Club. It's further down. It's a good place. It's a good place.
It's a good place. People are there. There's no way
anything's gonna happen. Cooney, I think you should go.
Show up.
You should show up, man. We can go together.
Because I totally want to get mugged right after my saliva concert at 930 Club.
Were you into nu metal? Is that why you brought it back?
Just to let you know, I do not like saliva.
You love saliva.
Yeah.
I love saliva. It's in my mouth.
Right. I'm in love with saliva.
And I'm in love with it.
Waka waka.
Saliva. Saliva. That's a nu metal group, right?
Ugh.
It's so wet and hot, like the Carolyn and Joe show.
That's
Let's not
right.
talk about it. From the way I dress, I don't think I would fit well with the nu metal crowd.
What, are you kidding me? You have right now you have flip-flops on and shorts. And a collared shirt. They wear that back then in nu metal time. What was nu metal? Nu metal was from like 99 to...
I think nu metal was like a black t-shirt, like five sizes too big. Like a necklace you get from Hot Topic and those cargo pants that kind of flare out.
Yeah, like Janko style?
Was that what it's called?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not part of
that. Also, I'm
group.
Supposed to wear like some sort of like dog spike collar belt or something. Is that
how? Because you're tough.
Yeah, I guess so. Or I'm really into buying accessories at Hot Topic.
Hot Topic.
You know, it's funny, Cooney, because we've had sort of like, I think out of a lot of my comrades, a lot of my friends, I do see you pretty much majority out of all,
like
out of
weekly?
All, like weekly,
yeah,
because
weekly.
We have our weekly gatherings where we share politics and I don't know what we do.
We
eat Popeyes.
We search for cheap lunches.
That's like, right.
That's our hobby now.
That's exactly.
Search for under $10 lunches.
Yeah.
And, so have you found any?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, let's do some quick reviews of what you've seen and heard of around town. So what have been your weekly lunches for the past month?
For the past month? That's so like four?
Well, sometimes you know what? For the past couple ones, we've kind of gone over our $10 budget.
That's true, because we were celebrating. for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Sometimes we...
So I heard you had Indian food the other day.
Yes, we did have Indian food the other day. I mean, the price of that was under $10.
It was $8.99
$8.99.
Okay,
but,
so that fit in your budget.
But the problem is that we paid tip. Because if I felt kind of guilty for it.
Wait, so why would you pay tip on a buffet? You're serving yourself.
I know, but like they, you know, they came in.
Wait a minute. That is true. Why am I paying tip? I
don't know
about that.
Actually, I feel like you, no, you do have to pay.
I didn't pay like
a tip on a buffet. I'm not saying you don't have to, but I feel like at least with that type of meal, you are getting it yourself.
Like
they just have it in little bins.
But the problem is that they serve you water and they're making sure everything is okay.
No, that is true. I think you should tip, but maybe not like
20%,
a big,
probably 10%.
What is
I don't know the etiquette. You're supposed to at least do 15 at some places, but I feel like in terms of a buffet, I don't think the tip should be that much. Because also, honestly, the water thing, it's nice, but it's not like, you know, I don't know. It's not like they're carrying out like your full meal and everything.
I know, but it's like...
But I definitely think you should tip, but maybe not 20%.
It's 10%.
Maybe 10% would be good.
I'm sure like some of your listeners who are like waiters and waitresses are like, oh, I should get all 20%. I work at a buffet. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You think about them.
Oh,
is that proper? Because that's a lot, man. 20%?
20% is a lot for a buffet.
I guess it's 20%.
For a buffet, yeah, that's true.
That's what we're saying. For a buffet.
Also, it's like, aren't you, like, if you're in a buffet, aren't you supposed to get used to that? Like, that's...
If you work there and you're like, oh, these are my tips. I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I've never worked in the food services industry.
But this is what I'm thinking, man. Because like specifically whenever I do give a tip, it's because it's aimed at a specific person.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like if it's a buffet, I've been waited on by like 20 different people grabbing my cup and refilling it or like getting my plate. So I don't really know where that money's going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to know where that money's going, actually.
I mean, usually the buffet people actually don't.
It's going to pure sadness.
Like I said, they just like get you water. And like, honestly, I mean, it's good, but it's not like enough to earn 20%.
Okay.
So yeah, we got that one time we got Indian food. And that was like probably the second time I think I've ever had Indian food, but this is the first time I've ever actually been in an Indian restaurant. And you know, it's sort of exactly how I pictured it. And
did they have Bollywood stuff going on?
Like it's the
did they have people dancing and
food
unison?
Version of the Jungle Book? Is that what you envision? Is that
the Jungle Book? What?
Is that how you envision it?
The Jungle Book is not. Is it in India?
Are you imagining King Louis giving you some tap dancing numbers? Is that what's happening?
I'm picturing Aladdin. I'm like, wow, there's going to be flying carpets everywhere.
Can it be the Sega Genesis game version where you crack open a couple of barrels with your machete and you get jewels?
Machete?
They have a machete. You know, you have that sword, broadsword.
That's
like curved broadsword.
And then when they serve food, like it's like they do what's it called? Like a... they have a flute or whatever, and then like a snake comes up when they play it or something like that.
Man, this
snake charmer.
This totally got racist really quickly.
Really? No, I don't think it's racist at all. I think that that's characteristics of like Indians.
But to tell you,
like you know, like it's like a generalization of that culture.
Well, see, let me tell you,
we are just like 3 feet deep already. I mean, we are shoveling
but
very
that's
quickly.
But that's what the culture has fed us. Like every culture has stuff that people know about. Like Irish people, we know about four-leaf clover and leprechauns.
I don't think they purposely fed us that. I think we were. More like they caught on to that.
Or like Disney taught us that about Indians.
Yeah,
so we can blame Disney for it if we want.
Disney and its constant racism.
And its constant racism. Has Disney really been that racist?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let me tell you a story about one of my coworkers actually told me this the other day.
Okay.
So she has a 3-year-old daughter, I believe. And her daughter's very into the Disney princesses, as of any female would be at age 3, pretty much. And she has all the toys and like she has a doll, each doll for each of the princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, you know, I don't know if you've seen The Princess and the Frog. Have you seen that, Kuni?
Yeah, the first African-American princess.
Yes. And Joe's.
Was that really the first African-American princess?
Yes.
Why did they have to make a point that it was the first?
Well, because there wasn't one. And I guess like there's been Pocahontas and Mulan and Princess Jasmine.
And so
there has been different races of princesses.
And this is so she watched. This movie.
Well, the daughter didn't see this movie yet, but the daughter has all the princess toys.
Technically, you can go like Lion King It's African.
I bet there was no people there. I mean, that's not a princess. That's not in the Disney princess like brand.
Oh yeah, yeah. The whole princess, that princess. Yeah. Motif.
You can't put it like on a backpack.
Because usually
like
they
that.
Have like Ariel. Like let's name some of the Ariel. Disney princess. They have. Like Ariel from The Little Mermaid, they have Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Belle's not technically she's
she is in the princess stable of the Disney like world.
Really?
Yes. Have you seen Disney?
What was the Beast? The Beast was a prince, right?
Yes.
I know, she didn't become a princess. Oh, never mind. Then you had to kind of discredit Snow White and Sleeping
Beauty.
I'm
basically
and all
saying
that
like the Disney princesses is like a business of its own.
Gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
Right. And Belle's included. Okay, like you can feel free to name some more, but there's like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty.
You said
Snow White.
Mulan, right?
Mulan. Well, like basically any of the.
Was that girl from Hunchback of the Notre Dame? Was she a princess?
No, she was a gypsy. She was a dirty, dirty gypsy.
I don't know specifically who's in their
dirty,
little princess
gypsies.
Club. But anyway.
Gypsies, you know who you are.
So imagine this 3-year-old girl that has. I guess she has most of the dolls of the Disney princesses.
Really? To narrow it down, the princess has to have a dress.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been to, like, the Disney store or seen online, like, the lineup of princesses.
Okay, okay.
Or in
okay,
the Happy Meal
okay,
or
so,
something.
So she's into princesses then.
Yeah, and so she has all the dolls, and apparently, like, you know, her mom is playing with her, and she's like, I don't like this one, and she ends up being, like, the black one from Princess and the Frog.
Wait, so she says, I don't like the black one?
Yeah, the 3-year-old. And keep in mind, like, this lady, in my opinion, honestly, I don't know. I'm pretty sure this lady did not teach her daughter this. You know, like, yeah. She seems like a person that's very accepting. And also just, like, maybe it's too much background, but, like, she's Jewish and her husband is, like, some other thing. I don't know exactly what he is, but he's some other, like, race. So basically her daughter is, mixed. Her daughter is a mixed race. Like,
is there a reason why she didn't like that one?
Well, we were trying to figure it out at work because the mom was, like, she's like, I don't know where she learned this because it's, like, she's like, I obviously didn't teach her that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
Wait, is she covering up for something?
No, she isn't.
No. But I think it's just because the story, Prince and the Frog, was not a very good
story.
She
hasn't seen the movie yet.
Oh.
And then I was like, well, maybe she learned it at, like, kindergarten or, you know, preschool or wherever her like, school is. Because she does do daycare or something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe it's the whole fact that she is the black princess and the fact that she is the one that's left out from all the other, I mean, like Asian and like Pocahontas, I mean, they're darker skinned, but they have that same kind of motif.
And they all look white.
They all look white with darker skin.
This little 3-year-old girl, though, she's not like pure white, too. And then the mom was explaining to her. She was like, "Well, you're not like white, you know." She's like, she's been tagged at school saying that she's cinnamon. She's like, "I'm not white, but I'm cinnamon."
So,
and this is a 3-year-old.
But basically, that the princess and the frog is cinnamon as well, right?
Well, she's black, like straight up black.
Also, the problem is that
she
like,
didn't look black to me.
Well, she is.
In the Princess and the Princess and Frog,
she's very black, Joe.
But she wasn't black.
Yeah, she was.
She was pretty.
Joe,
I mean,
Joe,
what do you want? Like the color of K-Quick? You know, like she wasn't. She's not like.
Are you?
Like,
are you
R-Truth or whatever? You know, like she's not like.
Do you want her to be
up.
Like charcoal?
She looked like Halle Berry to me. She looked like the Halle Berry.
No, she was. But you could definitely tell she was black.
Well, she was
compared to Cinderella. Come on,
she
is black.
Well, also the problem is that
she's nothing other than black.
She's technically like the most different looking out of all the other princesses. Because everyone has that variation of that kind of like, they all look, I mean, Pocahontas, Mulan, they all look like white princess whatever bullshit, you know?
What about Princess Jasmine?
Princess Jasmine, too. They have
She had a tan skin.
I know, they have the tan thing, but it's still like the eye, the facial structure is kind of like with that traditional princess thing. Princess, you know, they all like, whatever race it adheres to that same.
She looked like Barbara Streisand.
They all adhere to the
Princess Jasmine looked like Barbara Streisand.
I don't know about that.
They all subscribe to the Disney princess motif.
Yes.
And the princess from Princess and the Frog. I don't even know her name. I don't really care.
I don't even know her name either, but Princess and the Frog Girl.
Yeah, Princess and the Frog Girl looks the most different out of them.
She has big lips too.
Well, she's like
she's African American. She's from from New Orleans.
But like they went out of their way to like completely like emphasize the fact that
she's black.
She's black. Instead of like trying to somehow genericize all the other races like they did previously.
But I guess at work we were talking about
except
like
Mulan. Mulan's a little different, but it's like
they try to pull Mulan away from that princess group. I never really see her included in the princess.
Oh,
okay,
Mulan is really not. She's like, she is part of that like that same kind of structure, but she is mostly like, she's never been like the princess Mulan.
But she's not a princess
in,
though,
like,
right?
The whole like, but they have her included in like the princess
line.
Oh,
like,
is she included in that?
Why? Yeah. That makes no sense.
Because she's retarded. A female.
Was she a princess though?
No, she wasn't.
I mean, I don't
she
know
like
how technical
warrior.
You have
she to be. She wanted to be a warrior.
She was a vicious warlord that killed thousands of people.
Well, anyway, back to this 3-year-old girl.
Disney.
What I'm saying is that like we were trying to figure out where she got that from, and I was like, I don't know, maybe school or something. Because you know, keep in mind she's not pure white either. You know, it's just like so odd. And then like I guess we were also talking about like something that's different than you, you're gonna be, I guess, like not gravitate towards. So maybe she's not gravitating towards the black princess.
Yeah.
And then the mom is like trying to teach her about it, and the mom is like, you know, whatever, I guess I don't know what they do at home, but maybe they're like playing with them or having tea with them or something. And then the mom is like, oh, I like this one, you know, the Princess and the Frog girl. And she's like, I like this doll. She's like, she's my favorite. And the mom would like emphasize that she's my favorite. And then the girl just like puts her hand out and she's like, you can have her. I don't want anything to do with her. And I'm like stuff like that. And it's like, I told the mom, I was like, maybe you should actually show her Princess and the Frog. Cause I was like, she might like the movie. At least like she can actually see the character in action. And I was like, I was like saying how the character from Princess and the Frog, the one thing that I did think was pretty cool about her is that she started her own restaurant, and she restored like an old building and made it into a restaurant and started cooking and stuff. She's very like entrepreneur women.
But I think that that's also like the downfall of that movie too, because it really strays away. I mean we're from a perspective of a person who's watched all these like Disney movies, you want something new, and Princess and the Frog really works that way. But from like a little girl that is like totally like into that traditional
princess stuff.
Yeah, princess stuff. Like,
they're
she
like, I don't want to work.
She's like, I don't, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because I was like, because the mom was like saying that, you know, all the other princesses are like looking at like, you know, oh, I'm going to like be with this perfect man forever. It's,
I mean,
more
it's,
like
it's
that type of thing. And you
way.
Don't have
yeah.
to,
very
and you don't. But I did appreciate, as a grown woman, I did appreciate how the Princess and the Frog did show how like she was really into like owning her own restaurant, her own business. I thought that was really rad.
No, but like, yeah, but it, the thing
I,
is that
you, like a 3-year-old is not going to connect with.
No,
that.
No. It's something that is, you know, it's from a kind of like a postmodern retrospective point of view,
mm-hmm.
that works really well. But as a person that's really going into the whole world of Disney, like little kids don't get it.
And yeah. they probably don't care what.
Well, Haley liked Princess and the Frog, and she's like 3, right?
Yeah. I don't think she sees color and race at this point, though.
Yeah.
I don't really know if she liked the movie at all.
No, she was really. She did like it.
But that just might be because it's something with color flashing in her face.
Or maybe she's exposed to it, and, you know, she's seen it several times.
Also, that's. You know what's also weird about that movie? There's like. I mean, people are commenting on how it's like. It's capturing the golden age of Disney,
because it's
really
cell animation,
but it really doesn't.
It really, I mean, I
it
watched,
really did not.
I watched it, and
I didn't think it was that bad.
I mean, it's not bad, but it's not like nowhere near as good as what people made it out to be.
Let me, like, for me, the golden age of Disney animation was also backed up with awesome songs. And when I watched that, it really didn't have the songs that put it over the top. Like when you have Beauty and the Beast, what do you have? What is the Beauty and the Beast song? The Tale as Old as Time.
Tale as old as time.
That was an amazing. What was the not My Little Pony?
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Little Mermaid had.
They had Kiss the Girl.
Yeah, they had like all these great songs.
Under the Sea. Come on.
Under the Sea.
Yeah, even in Lion King, they had freaking Elton John all over the place.
The Aladdin had some good songs too.
A whole new world.
Yeah.
Agrabah.
Yeah. You go with that one.
The Diamond in the Rough. Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
Like I do agree, like Princess and the Frog did not have a standout song.
I think that was the reason why there was no.
And they could have done something really cool with like New Orleans jazz stuff. I'm sure they had like
still,
some type of
you still
that
need
vibe,
that.
But not enough
also,
to like a landmark
have
song.
Have you noticed that story didn't really have an overarching plot. It
I don't
like,
know what the story was.
No, the problem is that it's got like little subplots that kind of weaved into that central plot. But always there's a central plot in Disney, and it's complicated by a multitude of side characters, main villains, main villain cronies.
Like a candlestick.
What?
Like a candlestick.
Yeah. I'm just saying. But here, but like every story had a...
Ursula.
Disney had a simple story, a simple villain, main obstacle, main hero, heroine, whatever. And then you had the complications that arose from different side characters and all that kind of stuff. Like, but then you had this kind of resurgence of all these like cell animated Disney movies that have like these tiny little plot lines that don't necessarily add up to a whole lot. Like there's no build up to it, you know?
And I don't really think that, like you said, you have a great hero, you need a better villain at the same time.
And Ursula was a pretty rad villain.
She was an awesome villain. Everyone had a great villain. I don't see what what was the villain in Princess and the Frog?
Witch doctor?
It was like that little voodoo guy. But he wasn't really that like scary though.
But he wasn't like, he was also kind of teaching her lessons along the way. So he was like an anti,
maybe they didn't want the kids to be too scared. Maybe somebody like headed up Disney and then pulled away from having it be too scary.
So they're pussies. They're all pussies.
Maybe.
Disney was a put, they pulled the punch.
I don't know the inner workings behind the real decisions.
You know what was the
From an audience perspective.
You know what was the last good Disney movie? Actually, Lilo and Stitch.
You know what? I never have seen that.
That was good. That was charming.
Was she a princess?
No. But it was
she
good.
She found like a little alien guy.
It was interesting. Also, Emperor's New Groove was pretty fun.
You know, I never saw that either.
It was fun in a purely... They're both like Spielberg movies, like The Catch Me If You Can / The Terminal.
Yeah.
It's like they've done everything so well. Now they're going to do this small, intimate kind of movie. That's what Emperor's New Groove
and also, I feel like half of their department, I feel like half of Disney, after, say, like, even with Aladdin, like, during that time, they started to focus on developing, like, television shows, like, cartoons. Like, they had a lot of cartoons that came out during that time. Aladdin the cartoon, even Goof Troop. Hercules the cartoon. So it felt like
Goof Troop. No, you can't put Goof Troop.
Was that Goof Troop?
Goof Troop is like its own separate thing. They decided to make a whole bunch of TV shows. Like, but you know what I mean?
Well, that had Max and what's his face, right?
Yeah,
but with that they made the Goofy movie.
A Goofy movie,
which had amazing songs.
Goofy movie that came out after
exactly. After. They serenity that thing.
Yeah, but you know what's the cool thing about like those movies? It's like that came from a place where they wanted to take old characters, spin a new, you know, light on it, and make a good show out of it.
Yeah.
But the problem with those other shows is like they took like a popular movie, or they, you know what, they made a whole movie on based the fact that they can string it along in a series of director DVDs.
Yeah.
/ TV show / whatever.
Because they even had the Milo and Stitch cartoon.
Yeah, so they're always basing on the fact that they're going to make a pretty good movie, but then they're like, man, we could totally make like 5 other sequel DVDs, and we can also totally make like 5 other
Disney
TV shows.
Disney always thinks of everything in like a giant franchise.
Yeah,
I would go out on a limb and say the last Disney cartoon that had really good songs was the Goofy movie.
A Goofy movie?
What year did that come out?
I have no
clue. 97? 96, 97?
Yeah, 96, 97, maybe 7th grade, 8th grade for me during that time.
Same type of Hunchback of Notre Dame. That was at the same time.
Yeah, but I swear to God, if anyone really knows me deep down in heart, knows how much I fucking love the Goofy movie, man, I would like, those songs, those were amazing. That described to me, that was like equivalent to Boy Meets World era of like storyline and stuff like that.
No, but it was
that motivated me, man. That motivated me. What were you saying?
You're so emo.
You know, what was another good cartoon like TV show? Darkwing Duck was okay.
Darkwing Duck was not just okay. That was great.
That was good. I mean, it was also
had Gizmo Duck in there too.
Oh, remember DuckTales became a movie too. DuckTales the movie.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good movie too, man.
There's no singing in that.
I know, but it was still good. It had Christopher Lloyd as the main bad guy. He was the guy that...
Was he a scientist?
What? No, he was the weird guy that became like... He was like the warlock that wanted the genie powers and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Also, Tailspin was awesome.
Tailspin was pretty awesome.
It was amazing. They took...
Kit Flyboy, something like that?
Kit.
That was great because it was all about flying.
Yeah.
You never... It was like, no one's about talking about flying these
space
days.
Pirates and a giant Zeppelin.
Yeah, man.
You know?
That was crazy. That was like the Rocketeer.
I know, but it was cool because I've never seen a TV show where they took characters from a Jungle Book or whatever franchise, totally put in an alternate universe. Like, completely, here's Tailspin and here's Jungle Book. It's like, I don't know how that came from point B to point A.
We're
going to
put them in the sky.
Yeah, I'm going to put them in the sky.
With Baloo.
And it's going to be like 1930s pulp comic sensibilities. I'm like, okay, like, whatever. What? And you're like, wow, that happened for reals.
But it worked.
Yeah.
It worked. And I don't There's no humans in that too.
Yeah, exactly. Like the no humans thing. I think that that really
no human rule.
No one can. No, I enjoy like a lot of the no human stuff where the animals are the humans, mm-hmm. and I feel like a lot of time. I think it's good now. Like no one can really call that racist. You know, like no 3-year-old can be like, I don't like that character.
Yeah.
You know. But what do you think about like a 3-year-old coming to that conclusion? Do you think that that's just because she's not used to like seeing black people?
It really could just like, be a situation of like maybe she doesn't like her hair. That could be possibly just a thing like that. Like, if you're that young...
But it's like, also, how do you learn that? Because, like, obviously, I don't think she's learned it from her parents.
I think it just comes... You know, I'm not going to put a particular blame on that situation because
yeah.
it just comes down to this. Like, we do not know how a child's minds work sometimes.
That's true.
We don't know
it's how... It's just amazing.
We don't know what... You know, we don't know what connects with what.
And
so.
Yet we were child children.
Just, it's just amazing child. To me, too, though, that she, like... Like, that, you I know, mean, but also like I feel like
I mean she
kids...
she's coming to a racial conclusion, but yeah. it comes down to she's coming down to a racial conclusion, but she may not view it that way. She might not understand it that way, comprehend it in that scenario,
or she might just not like darker skin. You know, it could come down to that. Like, but not that not being a racist is just that maybe she doesn't prefer like that color.
Aesthetically, she enjoys lighter colors.
Yeah, it could be that. You know.
Look,
but also, even when Haley, like Jessica was telling me this story, when Haley,
my niece,
yeah, when Haley was like in her like school, I don't know what grade she's in or preschool or whatever. Like apparently some of the kids at school already gave her a nickname. They're calling her like Little Chyna or something like that.
Little Chyna.
I'm probably butchering it, but it was basically like what? And then Haley was like, or Jessica was like, what? I don't understand. I guess they think she's like Mexican or something.
Is that what Chyna? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm
it was
not
like,
Mexican,
or it was
so.
Like Little Cheeky or something. Little
Chica?
Little Chica or something. Ooh. I don't know what they called her, but that was like her nickname at school that the kids came up with. It wasn't like anything.
Little
like it's
Chica.
Like, it's like weird.
Is that bad?
It's not necessarily, but it is like calling somebody a race, like at a young age. She's only 3.
Like this is, I mean,
you know, like,
so kids are those kids are motherfuckers. Is that, little kids are motherfuckers.
I don't know.
So,
I mean, I guess it was from what I could tell, it did kind of sound like it could be an admiration to be like, oh, little Chica's here or whatever. But like,
I mean, it's good to know that they are starting to learn a different language.
Yeah,
that's great.
But then it's like that in a way, it is kind of like there's racism there. Like, I'm not saying the kids are racist, but they are noticing some type of race thing going on.
I mean, it's great that, you know, those little kids are learning about different things, but it also sucks that they're fucktards.
Well, but also the kids nowadays, like...
I know. They're being, you know, but they're inadvertently being fucktards.
But also, like, when we were growing up, there might have been a lot more, like, straight-up white kids. But now when I look at kids these days, you can't even tell what type of race they are sometimes. Like, they just look all mixed.
It's going to be all mixed anyway.
Yeah. We're all going to be beige.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're gonna be variants of almond.
And truthfully,
unless we all of a sudden just lose sun whatsoever, then everyone will just be pale.
So we're all gonna look like Polynesians, Eskimos.
Yes.
I mean, truthfully,
it's true. That's what's gonna happen.
I think a lot of
I'm okay with that.
A lot of the mixed kids actually, I think, in my opinion, like look the best because like they just I don't know they just have like a good. A fresh like look of things
also,
and they're not just like straight
that's
up
what,
white.
That's what God wants at the end. They're like, you know what? You guys will eventually come to the fact that once y'all are mixed, it's going to be beautiful. But yeah. Until then, fuck you.
Yeah.
maybe that's really what the great plan is because when you mix it,
the first Disney mixed princess.
Yes.
They need to
do
that.
Yes, like a Chinese mom and a black father.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Bam.
See, Disney, we're making money for you.
What would you call that? What would it be? What princess would that be?
I'm going to get enough hate mail.
Because you know each princess has to take place in a certain area,
yeah,
right?
It's like a certain time frame.
Even though I have no idea where Beauty and the Beast
Egyptian. They did do Prince of Egypt, though.
No, that's Fox.
I know that was Fox, but I'm just saying there hasn't been an Egyptian princess.
Is there an Egyptian princess?
From Disney.
Ancient Egypt is a really cruel place. To have a movie,
the people like they kill their firstborn.
But usually Disney has like some type of atmosphere.
I know, but
or maybe they could do an
terribly,
Eskimo.
What
they
a terribly depressing
princess.
Atmosphere.
They could do an Eskimo princess.
Because really, the only thing people really
the cold fighting polar bears.
And then
all the time.
Like then you could mix white with like Native American.
They're Canadian. It's the Canadian.
Canadian with Native American, or not, or just a native.
Oh, how much time do we have?
Oh, we have plenty of time.
Oh, cool.
Why, you have a long story to tell?
No. Oh, I do want to get more information on the last show I was on, and then some people were not very happy about what I had to say.
Wait, what?
Like, remember, like, last show, like, we were talking about,
back
like,
in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, we were talking about all that pretentious shit, and then,
Oh, yeah, they were saying we were so full of ourselves. We're like, oh, you guys are the shit. You guys are talking like you're awesome. Well, if we're not going to, then who else is, right?
No, but what's really, really funny is that what, like...
Wait, who'd you hear this from?
I don't know. Joe was telling me, like, he was at the Me, You, Me.
Yeah.
Podcast, and then he met up with some people who were listening to the prior show.
They joked about, like, yeah, we listened to it, and you guys really sound like you're full of yourselves. And I was like, well, that's how we are.
Yeah, but like the funny part about it is that afterwards, some people came up to you and they're like, what?
No, they're like, that's just how, you know, like, yeah, you guys sounded like really pretentious on that last episode, just on that last one, and because, you know, like. Part of it was because we were talking like, I forget what we were, because we spoke about how
we can't really,
we're different because we're actually doing something with our lives.
No, but also it's like we can't really rag on people like they're, you know, like we're deserving of being the ability to criticize.
Form a sentence. Wait, what's going on? Sorry. I know that you're thinking. I see the wheels turning.
This is my aesthetic. This is my aesthetic for anything, really. I believe that I have the right to, just because I've created this own platform for myself, for us, for all of us, and that I'm doing this on a constant basis for over 124 weeks. That with that portfolio itself of over 124 hours of weekly free content, that I can, you know,
say whatever you want.
I feel like I've given that choice now.
It's our voice, man. If you don't like it, then you know what to do.
No, right. Then you go out there and throw away your black princess.
I think the podcast kind of boiled down to like that portion of the podcast boiled down to like, I feel like some people are like fanboys and they're overly criticizing certain people's works. But I feel like they themselves don't have the legitimacy and or the right to.
Well, see,
they don't have the privilege.
See, you know, me personally, I'm never a huge fan of critics in general. You know, and that's
everyone's a critic.
I mean, but everyone's a critic. But I'm also friends with like critics at the same time,
like Roger Ebert.
Yeah, and
ooh, are you friends with Roger Ebert?
Yeah, we're big friends of Roger Ebert. But I just know people, you know, like, there's people that write, you know, and stuff like that. And I never want to, you know, I'm not out here to go and chop anyone's heads off based on their opinion. But also, I respect the opinion of people who also put in the work themselves to create something.
Yeah, I like...
Because they know how... They've bled. They've put their sweat into it.
Also, I like constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism is crucial. Not just like... You know, not just like, oh, I thought it was boring.
Or not just like a comment on YouTube that's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's like nothing after. Fail. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, my God.
Is there a reason why it fails? Is there a reason why it sucks?
Yeah, like, tell me that. Those things, like, it was so ridiculous, man. Like, even when I was looking at, like, videos of, the Japan flooding and stuff like that. And then, like, looking at these message boards, like, the message boards on YouTube. And then just, like, the ignorance and retardation of what people would write, how they think they're in the right, this person in the right, and this person's fighting this guy. And I'm like, wow, it's like a real war is not going to be fought on the battlefield. It's like it's fought with ones and zeros now online, it feels like.
Well, it's
but
like,
it's just stupid.
YouTube has the worst comments, though.
They're trolls. I mean, like, this feeling of anonymity allows them to attack people, you know, people's works, people's situations, you know, their eyewitness accounts and all that. Because they're given this platform of this veil of secrecy that allows them to speak their hearts.
And that's one thing that, like, for us, we're out in the open.
Yeah.
We're out in the open. And you know what? If you have a problem with anything we do, you know, we got a message board or it's not hard to get into contact with us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, well, we put out the work. Why don't you make your own show and
also,
do something about it?
Also, like,
or come on this show, you know?
Also, what's really funny is that Joe and I, we were walking around Walmart. Don't ask. We just
did. You need batteries?
Yeah, he needed batteries.
Because I know that's the only reason why Joe does go to Walmart.
They got some great prices.
To buy batteries.
They got great prices on batteries.
You,
man.
You like to buy batteries and cinnamon.
Cinnamon floss.
Oh yeah.
I also like to return stuff.
Okay, well, you were talking. I was talking with them, and then, you know, I came to a conclusion. Like, you know what? I am a pretentious kind of guy. I can get very emo-y and kind of indie and all that BS. But like, at least I'm straight up about it. You
yeah.
know? And then Joe, it, can get very kind of like, not self-serving, but just very like he's self-promoting. But you know what? That's a plus because he needs to go out there, hustle for work, make money.
Yeah.
So he,
and like we've said before, if we don't do it, who else is going to do it?
Yeah, seriously. So like there's...
Oh, then you're also like, and also you have a bit of an assholeness in you too, Joe. And then, but that's also a good sign.
It's all coming out.
It's true.
No, it's good. And I was like, yeah, I definitely do have an assholeness because I'm like, well, I need to have a bit of an assholeness so no one's going to just stomp right over me.
I know, because it's like, there's otherwise you're just going to end up being a pushover.
But so. I was like, I'm not, but I feel like for me to be an asshole, I can't just be an asshole all the time. I got to save it for when it's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm completely fine with that. Yeah. I'm willing to take that bullet and be honest. I mean, like, you know, when, you know, because it, I remember like I was on the bus like in eighth grade or something like that. And there's this girl named
Bus News.
We're taking it all the way back. But there was this
Jason
girl.
Jason Mewes, listen up. We have some bus news for you.
But you know, there was a girl on there. I think her name was Shannon. And you know, I guess maybe she was loose. I'm not sure. But,
how would you know? This is what is seventh or eighth grade?
This is like eighth, seventh grade.
How would you know about this?
You know, it's seventh and eighth grade.
This is too early
but
for me.
But basically, one impression that she's like, I remember we're all, you know, she was like making, like, there was like a verbal battle somehow. And she was like, you know, a tough girl with an attitude. And then I would go and say like, "Well, you're a bitch." And she goes like, "Well, I know a bitch." And I'm like, at that point, I was like, well, I can't.
There's no comeback.
Well, there is a comeback after that. I was like, well, you're a fucking whore. And she's like, I'm not a whore.
You told her that in middle school?
That's great.
Well, you know, that's how it is. But I felt like for me, that's influenced me because, like, you know, because a bitch at the same time, if you used properly.
Wait, so what did she say after you said you're a whore? She said, I'm not a whore.
No, she got pissed.
Oh.
Well, I guess it just all boils down to is like own up to it. Whatever you say or do. Own up to it, be an adult or be responsible for what you perpetuate and, you know, be a fucking adult.
And also, like, stand up for yourself, really. Don't let anyone else shove you down. Like, believe in your work. Even if it is, and there's proper ways of doing it. You don't have to be an asshole. Like, I always know that I can pull out the asshole card.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But also at the same time is, you know, you don't want to be, I don't want to just be known as asshole. I want to know, like, if someone's like, someone needs to go and say that to someone, you know, someone needs to say the right thing, but it might be an asshole move, and be like, well, I can say it. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
it applies.
Sometimes.
It doesn't just apply to, like, people's works or, like, hey, I have an artwork. Why don't you criticize it and have troll come in there? But, like, it applies to anybody, anything, any saying, like, any sort of statement or comment or perception or any sort of like an ideal, if you're really, really strongly attached to this idea or this concept, you know, you should be willing to own up to it and state that in a public forum and be ready to, you know, defend it.
Take the heat.
Yeah. And because it's like, what's the point, right?
Yeah. If you're going to put it out there, you got to know that you're going to get something in return. If you're going to put it out there and you don't want any of that attention, don't put it out, because then what's the point of putting anything out there? And at the same time, whenever I do, I guess I give any type of criticism, for me, I always recommend whoever criticizes anyone's work, put a perspective on it. It's like, you got to know, honestly, first look at your perspective and look at the perspective from them. What do they need from it? You can't just go in there trying to slice them down.
But I think
unless
a lot of
you are that person that's just trying to cut them down.
A lot of the people are cutting down, though. They're
because
like
they
the haters or whatever.
Yeah, or they're,
you know,
just like jealous or whatever.
I don't understand how, like, people hate on anything. It's like,
oh, I do, man.
You see a video of a sad girl just got beaten, you know, senseless, and then they start making jokes about it. I'm like,
it's fucking, it's power play. It's really people. And this comes from me. This is honestly, it comes from me really respecting professional wrestling. To be a proper, a great professional wrestler, it's a team sport. And you guys gotta, for everyone,
or like how improv runs on.
Yeah, you gotta be able to pass the ball, and, you know, you gotta be able to elevate everyone and put each other over. Like,
yeah.
And I feel like that's the only way everyone can succeed, is by basically everyone coming up together and teaching each other how to work.
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, because it's like, professional wrestling is not necessarily like this, you know, the actual sport of wrestling where it's like you guys grapple and flip each other and see who wins.
And it's not hardcore choreography either.
It's like a storytelling sport.
Yeah, but it's like how to act, how to play, and how to flip and not hurt the person that you're flipping.
Exactly. It is a team sport against the audience.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, How do you jump up 20 feet in the air, not hurt the person that you're slamming, but also at the same time not making yourself into a giant bullet that you hit the ground on the mat and die?
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to think about, you know? And that's why I always find it really, really, to me, I find it really disrespectful when anyone who...
It's the ultimate stunt. It's my stunt work.
And it's just suicidal, too. It's at the same time. You got to have that little...
And then people call it fake.
Yeah, and it makes me... I mean...
It's terrifying. I mean, it's putting on a show, but it's like the chances of a person breaking their neck or being severely paralyzed are incredible.
And then they put that risk on a daily basis to make people's face smile, you know, and do it for the kids or do it for the hardcore fans at the same time. And that's why I truly respect it. Because at the end of the day, yeah, they can put on a match... You know, they can put on a, you know, they can put a crappy match and no one really care. And I mean, I just feel like this is totally like giving, it's totally a giving opportunity. It's a giving performance piece.
Yeah. And also like, aren't like half those people, or they're just messed up psychologically and also physically for the rest of their lives, right?
Well, I don't even know. That's depending on the person. Because you are sort of living the rock style lifestyle. You know what I mean? You're on a stage and you're performing, and I believe you will feel invincible after a while. You know what I mean? And then with the same thing with any rock and roll rock style, like even if you're like Poison from the 80s or you know, Poison. And you have everything around you and you're constantly touring and no one's really watching you, you got to take care of yourself. And some guys don't take care of themselves because like they're not like...
It depends on the person. Yeah. But they're just like already have that testosterone, like, and then they have that energy from the crowd. So they're going to feel like they're unbeatable, you know?
And it comes down to different generations.
It also depends who they're hanging out with,
too. Yeah, it really depends.
Like their influences. Like if their friend's all big on like steroids or something. Then, you know what I mean? Like it might not be good for them, too. Or any other drug.
Because there are cliques.
Really? You know? Like high school?
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, it's like anything, like who you surround yourself by. You don't even have to be a hotshot wrestler or rock star to be surrounded by people like that.
That's true, I guess.
Like, there are some, like, you know, everyday people that, you know, they might know, like, a friend who's on drugs that can't get off of drugs.
Now think about this, too, Cooney. Like, professional wrestling, that is, they're all freelance. You know what I mean? And also, it's a team thing. Well, it's like, you have to work well with somebody, and then...
But at the same time, you're kind of a lone wolf. Everyone's a lone wolf, but at the same time, you gotta... Work well.
Yeah, you got to work well, but also it's like, well, you're going to be working with someone for a long time because if you have a good feud with someone, you're going to want to get that match better, and you want to elevate yourself in the card because you know what happens? The better performance, the higher in the card you get, you're going to get paid more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like you're all, in a sense, vying for a position, vying for to be the top dog. But also, like, you have travel partners, so you're going to be traveling. You know, you got to save money and... You don't want to spend all your money in all rental cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, gotcha.
So that's true.
So they don't, like, the company doesn't pay for all the traveling and stuff like that. You got to pay it out of your own pocket.
I think that depends on which company you're part of.
What if you're in a biggie one?
I'd like to think that they pay for your housing,
like, or your hotel rooms or whatever.
Yeah, I like to think that they got you covered on that.
Like, probably travel. I mean,
because I know for TNA they don't pay your housing and travel.
Really?
Yeah. Or Impact Wrestling now.
Do they make enough to cover?
Yeah, it should be covered in there.
Is it like, are they going to get paid like enough, and then it's going to pay? Like, how many shows do they do like a week? Like two or three?
Or on indies or on the
TNA?
TNA, they for what I think they do probably like three shows every 2 weeks. But also they tape it like every like 3 days straight.
So there's a possibility.
I think that's how it is.
How many days?
3 days straight. They'll tape.
Okay, so...
And then they'll take a break for, like, 2 weeks and then come back.
Okay, so, like, let's say you have a gig and you have 3 days, and then you got to take 3 days of Howard Johnson's. That's, like, what, $150 a night, right?
Yeah.
So that's $450 already, and then to and from, that's, like, $300, $400.
And sometimes they fly them, you know what I mean?
So you're spending, like, up to close to $1,000 on travel and housing alone.
I think the bigger name value, they'll cover your trap, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like the big, you know, it's sort of like that. The bigger star you are, they'll cover that.
But I hope they make at least like, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 a night.
Like picture this.
I hope they do, because it's just like, that makes like four. It's like
doesn't TNA also not have healthcare?
I don't even think that WWE has healthcare. I think WWE has to pay for your own healthcare now.
What's a good healthcare cost? Like, it could, like, with their risk.
Their insurance is probably very high.
Probably like a premium is like what, close to 1,000?
Yeah.
Because I know a friend of mine, her premium is like $450 a month.
That's what?
Yeah, $450 a month.
What does she do?
Well, I mean, she had some health problems, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but then again, it's like still it's. That's a lot of money.
See, and then take all this into consideration. The fact then people will call that fake. To me, it's the most realist thing out there, man. You're traveling.
They're you putting know, it on the line.
You're putting it on the line, and then the better your match is, the more it's probably more health risking.
Yeah.
You know, the more intense the match is, the more real it looks. If you wrestle stiff, or sometimes you know the slogan of WWE is like wrestle. What's it called? Less effort. Wait, it's something about like wrestle smart, not something like that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, wrestle smarter, not harder.
Jeez.
So it's sort of like you know they know that you shouldn't bust your ass. You got to wrestle with your mind and more psychology. But it is a tough life. But it's also an addicting life because it's sort of like if you really love the performance aspect of it, there's nothing more gripping than doing that.
I mean, like we've said before, also, like, I really feel like there's something in most wrestlers that's a little bit crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, but also with athletics.
Playing with fire, right? It's that danger factor.
Yeah.
But also with, like, you know, when you're a boxer, it's like, well, you know you're going to get hit in the head.
Yeah.
It's also with football, you know, football people, I think, are even more ridiculous because it's like they have
pads and stuff.
No, but, like, see, there's a difference with these. With boxing, you're trying to kill the other person. With like MMA, you're trying to destroy the other person. With football, you're trying to like annihilate, you know, the other team.
Mm-hmm.
But in wrestling, it's a team. You know, you're performing with each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got your the goal is not to hurt the other person, to just make it look like it. So it's sort of like, yeah, they might have something. Partially they're more insane because like, well, they know instead of someone else putting them in trouble, they're doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Also, it kind of missed the olden. You know, wrestlers
like Macho Man. I miss Macho Man too.
I love Macho Man. I love charismatic wrestlers with crossover appeal. The last one's The Rock.
The
right?
Rock, yeah. I mean, John Cena maybe.
John Cena, but like he's still like the golden boy WWE, and he gets kind of like, you know, like whatever they want to launch, WWE is like, okay, we got to put John Cena in this.
Yeah.
Like they, it's like he's part of the umbrella, WWE umbrella.
He's the safe bet.
He's the yes man.
But I'm talking about like The Rock and I guess Stone Cold Steve Austin to a certain degree.
Stone Cold was perfect for that era. You know what I mean?
But the Stone Cold personality is very limited in his ability to do like movies and stuff.
I mean, he can only be like what, a bad guy?
Yeah, bad guy or like.
Or like a tough guy.
Or the badass.
Guy. Yeah.
But like The Rock has that really charismatic personality that can fit into a whole bunch of.
Because if he can be badass, if The Rock.
Oh, sorry, Dwayne Johnson, I apologize.
I'd rather call him The Rock. So. Yeah,
because he's badass.
Yeah.
As The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, come on, Dwayne Johnson. But The Rock is The Rock is how I grew up on him.
Yeah.
But also, like him, if The Rock doing what, like the fairy, what's the tooth fairy?
The tooth fairy.
And
yeah.
still absolutely sort of pulling that off as a badass.
He can do a movie like Faster where he's the only point of him is to just act like a badass.
Yeah. I mean, like he can, that's crossover appeal.
And he also gets all different age demographics,
yes.
too.
The Rock is
everyone from age 3 to age 100.
Not imagine. Only that, but The Rock is actually what you guys prophesize as a mix.
Yes, he is
yes.
the mix. And
he is a mix.
He appeals to females and males. Like, yes. The males all want to be like, yeah, The Rock's cool. I want to be like him. I want to be his best friend. And then the females are all like, oh, he's hot.
Even the people that look at him in a sarcastic manner are still like, okay, he's pretty awesome.
And
he does.
And that's why The Rock got hired by Disney.
He's so likable. Well, he's just a very likable kind of guy.
Because he can pull off really just mean and evil, but then he also has that smile, that million-dollar smile with a little shine in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
And he can lift his eyebrow.
So, yeah, so.
I missed that. I missed that kind of ability. Even like Hulk Hogan had it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he did kind of. They were all tailored to be him for him to be like a wrestling kind of guy.
Yeah.
But still, it was like. It was all variation. I mean, he had that crossover appeal. He had the ability to go and do commercials, TV shows, movies.
But not as cool as The Rock.
I know. Not
That's
as cool. As, okay, not as cool
no,
as
no,
The
no,
Rock.
No, I'm saying.
And
not
as
at
handsome
this point,
as The Rock.
Like at this point. You know what yeah. I mean? At this point.
But like
his you know, looks did not sustain.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but then I mean, like, there's like how many people on the roster at WWE? Like
there's
40,
a lot.
40, 50, 60?
And they're completely making new people. The Miz might be the next one to be crossover at this point. And so First time at the Indian buffet, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the thing so about that's funny about is when we were having the Indian buffet, we were still talking about.
Yeah,
we
were still talking about, you know, that. What's also, and I actually texted Sanjay Dutt about, I'm having Indian buffet, man. And he's like, great, you'll enjoy it.
All right, thanks, Dan, right?
Oh, my favorite thing about Indian food is the naan, bread.
The bread.
I
just want to eat the bread.
I enjoy goat curry. Goat curry.
Goat curry.
Man, this is a good. We covered a lot of weird gamuts. I like.
Yeah,
this.
Man, I thought it was great, man. It was really enjoyable. We talked about all the races. We really broke it down. You know what I mean?
Who's your favorite Disney princess?
Me?
Do you have one?
Belle. I love Belle.
What about you, Cooney?
I don't know. I was never
Mulan.
Like
she's the Asian one.
Surprisingly, probably like Princess Jasmine.
Princess Jasmine, that's right.
Yes, I mean, Indian one.
The movie was so good, though. That's the problem.
Because she
like,
showed you quick, the Carolyn. World.
And there you go.
But also, she was a badass.
Who's your favorite, real quick?
Belle.
And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this show. I love you all for tuning in. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
That's a false love, Joe. False love.
And thank you for joining us.
And that's Cooney.
Thanks.
Catch you all next week. See you later, Carolyn.
See ya.
Stay positive, everybody. The kind of human wreck is that you love me.